now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back, Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. He was called the most dangerous man in the world, and he was an American citizen. Anwar al-Awlaki, an American-born Muslim cleric, killed by a drone missile attack last week. He was active in recruiting and training terrorists. Although, is there any distinction in killing a U.S. citizen in the ongoing fight against terror? To discuss that, I'm joined by Brigadier General Michael McDaniel, who is currently a professor at Cooley Law School, having most recently served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Homeland Defense Strategy, Prevention, and Mission Assurance. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. Nice to be on your show.
Now, does the fact that al-Awlaki was an American citizen play any role in the military's decision to target and kill him, and should it?
Well, as long as he has taken up arms against the United States or is part of a group like al-Qaeda, which is engaged in international armed conflict against the United States, it does not. If he had, in fact, wanted to avail himself of his rights as a U.S. citizen, he should have surrendered or been subject to capture, and then certainly he would have his rights as a U.S. citizen again at that point, but not while he is actively opposing the United States.
You know, the war against al-Qaeda is so murky. Americans certainly aren't aware of who exactly the enemy is. And since so much of the intelligence is kept secret, how stringent is the process of deciding that a particular target should be killed?
Well, the U.S. government, you've actually put your finger right on the nub of the issue. The U.S. government declares that a state secret whenever anyone wants to discuss what they call the adjudication protocols are for determining if an individual should be subject to targeted killings. We know from documents that have been released or from reports late last year after it came to light that al-Awlaki, as an American citizen, was being considered or was being targeted, that there are two different targeting lists, one by the CIA and one by Special Operations Command. But we don't know exactly what those the criteria are on those lists. That's the U.S. government maintains that that is a state secret and not subject to transparency, not subject to consideration by other branches of government, including the courts.
Well, it sounds like there's definitely a risk then to have a label of military combatant, for example, put on someone in a fairly liberal way then.
No question. No question. I mean, there are some very important constitutional issues here. I will be the first to grant you that. But I would say where it is clear that an individual such as al-Awlaki not only recruited individuals, was not only a propagandist for al-Qaeda, but was actively involved in military operations, as was clear with Abdul Muttalib, the underwear bomber, on Christmas Day 2009. He was involved in the cargo plane attacks on October of 2010. Once he is involved in operations, he is clearly an enemy combatant. Or once you are a high-level member of an international group which is in armed conflict against the United States, then you're a target. Then you are a fair target as well.
I'm talking to Brigadier General Michael McDaniel. He's currently a professor at Cooley Law School. You know, I wonder, when it comes to the prevention of attacks, what do you think has been a more significant factor, the killing of these key leaders or these dramatic changes of security procedures at our airports and elsewhere?
You know, that's a great question. And I don't know that we've got any way to really quantify or put a metric on those, Michael. And I think that should be a really good question for debate. This has really been the summer of counterterrorism by this administration, starting with May with the killing of bin Laden, and then in August, El Rahman, who was then the operations chief for al-Qaeda, was taken out, and now one of the top leaders from al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has been successfully targeted. So it has been a very rigorous campaign by this administration, and I think a successful campaign. There has certainly been a number of studies by objective outside groups like the RAND Corporation, which have said if you decapitate the leadership of a terrorist organization, then the foot soldiers will go elsewhere. And that is certainly consistent with the law of war, with the law of armed conflict. Mm-hmm. It is better to take out the leaders than to have to slaughter every foot soldier. And that's precisely what the administration is doing here.
You know, countries like Pakistan were enraged by our landing our guys down there and killing Osama bin Laden. And in general, we've gotten a negative reaction from many of these countries for, you know, entering their airspace and killing these operatives. Is there any validity in their viewpoint that we're crossing the line and kind of taking advantage of their own sovereignty?
In the case of bin Laden in Pakistan, yes. The Yemeni government, has consented to our drone strikes. They have said repeatedly that there could be drone strikes into the interior of their country, but they will not allow the drone strikes to be launched from their country. So we have to bring them in from Djibouti, the Seychelles Islands, or someplace offshore or outside of Yemen. But yeah, there is a sovereignty issue in the Pakistani case with bin Laden. I think that the president made an executive decision that it was worth the risk diplomatically to keep from compromising the attack on bin Laden.
We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to get a sense of how you feel about our security procedures, especially at airports where we've seen such a dramatic change, random searches, physical TSA searches, these kinds of things. Some people feel it violates them, and they're certainly their personal rights. Do you view these types of changes and the randomness of the searches we do as a functioning way to keep us secure?
Candidly, I don't. I would differ with the administration in that regard. For there to be when you look at the reasonableness under the Fourth Amendment for such a search, you have to demonstrate that it is, you know, first of all, that it's effective, and to be able to offset this intrusion into individual liberties. And frankly, I don't think that these methods are effective. They will consistently come up with different ways to circumvent our security lines. We're trying to do a checkpoint security instead of having a more lengthy intelligence-based approach. And the reason is that a lot of people consider intelligence-based approach as being the same as profiling. But profiling, Michael, does not mean racial or ethnic profiling. Profiling can be based upon behavior, and frankly, the millions of dollars that we spend on backscatter and AIT machines should be spent on educating our TSA officers and the proper means of determining if individuals bear ill intent as they approach the airport, much less approach arbitrary checkpoint.
Unfortunately, we've just scratched the surface, but we're out of time. Brigadier General Michael McDaniel, a professor at Cooley Law School, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Michael. Great to be on your show. Coming